We're going to look at a range of scriptures this morning, mainly from the book of Acts, because I'm going to be talking about the miracles of healings that we find in that book. We've been looking at the miraculous ways in which God intervenes in people's lives and in human history. And we're seeing that that is something, you know, that we find throughout the whole Bible. One of the key verses that we've looked at is Psalm 77, verse 14. That says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people." And we've seen that God has done that throughout the Old Testament. We've seen how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him, when we've been reading about the ministry of Jesus. And now we're looking through the book of Acts and seeing how God continues to do miracles through ordinary believers who are filled with the Spirit. And today I want us to look at some of the many healings that are described in the book of Acts. Now, healing can be a controversial topic at times because we've got many questions on the subject. You know, why doesn't God heal everyone straight away? Why are some people not healed? We've got lots of questions that we perhaps don't have answers to. But nonetheless, we see in the Bible many examples of God healing people. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And the Bible makes it plain that God's desire is for our health and wholeness. Healing is available to us today through Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Peter says, quoting from Isaiah, "By his wounds we are healed." So we can never just reduce God to something less than what he is. You know, he is the God who saves, he's the God who heals, he restores, he delivers. Maybe he often, in fact, uses, you know, medicine and the skill of doctors and nurses to heal us. There are times when, you know, we marvel at our immune systems and what he's done in our bodies to help us to heal. But there are times as well when he intervenes miraculously to heal us. In Exodus 15, verse 26, we read that one of God's names is Jehovah Rapha. "I am the Lord who heals you." So we can be confident in both God's ability and his desire to heal and to bring wholeness and well-being to people's lives. We can't dictate to God in any given situation, but we can know that God's heart is to heal and to restore, and that he wants us to come in faith and ask him to do that which we can't do for ourselves. And there are many examples of healing in the book of Acts. We've already looked at the first one, where that lame man is healed in Acts chapter 3. But just after that, it says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed." And from those verses, it's clear that signs and wonders weren't just one-off events in the life of the early church. They were frequent. There were many miracles. And the result of that was that God's word was spread around and people brought the sick out into the streets, so that they too could experience God's power and miraculous healing. There were so many people, it seems, that, you know, Peter and the apostles didn't even have time to pray for all of them. Even Peter's shadow falling on them was enough to bring healing. And Jesus both healed people from physical diseases and disabilities and delivered them when they were tormented by evil spirits. And in the book of Acts, we see his disciples doing exactly the same thing. The most wonderful verse is found at the end of that section in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and all those were healed. All of them were healed. You know, God's power was working miraculously at that time. And there was a sense of inclusivity, which obviously not only greatly impacted the lives of, you know, those who were healed, but it acted as a testimony to the whole community. And healing is always of great significance and benefit to the individuals who were touched and healed, but it's also a testimony to God's power. And the role of healing in evangelism was significant. You know, healing, it seems, was part of the reason for the church growth at that time. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And we need to see miraculous healings if we're to see people being added to our number. The miraculous is one of the ways in which God chooses to show his power to all who will see. And throughout the book of Acts, we see that healings weren't always just done by apostles. You know, it's true that Luke spends a lot of time recording the miraculous signs done by Peter and then later by Paul. But it's not true to say that God only worked through the apostles, because we're told that other people, other believers, were involved in healing too. Stephen, for example, was a man full of God's grace and power who performed great wonders and signs among the people. Philip also did miracles. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. You know, miracles aren't just for a select elite. All who believe in Jesus can be filled with the Holy Spirit and can be used by God in these ways. You know, Jesus made that plain when he said to his disciples in John chapter 14, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So, you know, we've got to stop, I think, just looking to famous people, so to speak, to do miracles. God does give people, you know, gifts of healing, a special ministry in healing. But also, all of us can be involved in these things as we seek God. All of us can ask God to heal. There are no restrictions on what we can ask in Jesus' name. And we've got to believe, I think, that, you know, the prayer of ordinary righteous people can achieve much, as, you know, we find in the letter to James, the letter that James wrote. Yeah, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And he says, you know, this is what we should do if we're sick. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they sin, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, there's this clear call to pray for each other so that you may be healed. And prayer for healing is the work of all believers. God's the one who brings the healing, but we can all be involved in the asking and seeking, which so often seems to be how God wants us to be in order to work in a certain way. And the result of these things, you know, is that there's joy. It tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, that when Philip had done all these amazing things, there was great joy in that city. Healings bring joy to people. They transform situations. They relieve distress. They take away sorrow. And we see that when Peter healed Aeneas. He was paralyzed and he'd been bedridden for 8 years. We can read about that in Acts chapter 9. Aeneas got up, rolled up his mat, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. There was joy because of this healing, not only because of the relief of suffering for Aeneas, but because other people came to faith as a result of that miracle. Again, when Peter prayed for Tabitha in that chapter, chapter 9, to be raised from the dead, there was joy, and it led to many people coming to know God. And there are lots of examples of healing in the book of Acts. Paul heals a man lame from birth in Lystra. We read about that. He raised Eutychus from the dead when he fell from the upstairs window during a church meeting. He healed the father of Publius on the island of Malta. We read about that in Acts chapter 28. And all of these miracles are recorded in quite a matter-of-fact way. You know, Luke doesn't sort of give us great frenzied accounts of it. He just shows us what happened. When Eutychus was raised from the dead, it says that Paul threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, and then said, "Don't be alarmed, he's alive." When he goes to this man to heal him in Malta, it says he went in to see him. After prayer, he placed his hands on him and healed him. There's no sense of anything really out of the ordinary happening. It's a miracle of healing that is they just expect to happen because they know God is with them. Now, these miracles were obviously instrumental in church growth because they witnessed to the power of God. They opened the doors to testimony. You know, your personal testimony, your story of God touching you and speaking to you and doing things in your life has a great impact on other people. You know, we saw with the lame man in Acts chapter 3, you know, that as he picked up his mat, as he was jumping and leaping and praising God, people were affected by that. When Paul was on Malta and he was bitten by the poisonous snake and he just shook it off and nothing happened, the people around were so impressed that actually, you know, they wondered what was going on. When Publius's relative was healed, you know, it opened the door. It says that when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and they were cured as well. There was this knock-on effect. These healings are public. They might have taken place in private, but the effect of what happened becomes that open door to testimony. It adds credibility to the gospel message that is being preached. When Peter's words of authority led to Aeneas being healed, it says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. When Tabitha, or Dorcas, was raised from the dead, it says this became known all over Joppa and many people believed in the Lord because people are seeing that God is real and God's doing things. John Wimber, who was an evangelist that was used by God in the ministry of healing, spoke of power evangelism. You know, he said that the signs and wonders that we see, you know, in the book of Acts are God's stamp on the preaching of the gospel. Mark 16, verse 20 says, the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We need to see those signs confirming what God's word says. It says in Hebrews 2, verses 3 to 4, this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. You know, a gospel without the supernatural isn't really the full gospel. The good news tells us that God intervenes in our world in miraculous ways. And those who saw the signs that Philip did, for example, paid great attention to what he said. Healings are one of the signs that cause people to pay close attention to the message that we're preaching. And they open the door to the gospel being heard. And we can see in the book of Acts that God healed all who needed healing, whether they were believers or whether they were not at that stage. Sometimes the people came for healing. Sometimes it seems that the apostles just healed them. we don't know necessarily how they knew that it was a time for healing, but we see a vast variety of people being healed in this book. Sometimes healing can be used to bring a person to faith, but sometimes we don't know if the person healed will be saved as well. Sometimes we see God's people being healed. Sometimes we see them being raised from the dead. We see God meeting their needs. But there's no particular type of person whom God heals in the book of Acts. He just heals people. And we see a number of different cases of God's mercy and kindness. No one's beyond the boundaries of God's grace and power. You know, so often we equate healing with right living. You know, you've done good, you've been a good Christian, therefore you deserve to be healed. But actually, there doesn't seem much biblical basis for that view. Healing is another example of God's grace and mercy to us. He heals because of who he is, not necessarily because of what we've done. We're healed by Christ's wounds. We're healed because of who God is. So many, many miracles of healing in the book of Acts. And in some ways, it seems that it was quite ordinary, quite mundane in the early church. Not that it's not a miracle, not that it's not a wow moment, but it's happening frequently because any miracle that comes from God is a sign of God's power. It's a witness to who God is and to what he does. And it's a source of joy to those who are healed and to those who witness the miracles. We need to believe for and pray for healings today so that God's name can be exalted and people around us can come to faith because of who they see God being and what they see God doing. And today, you know, if we need healing, let's come now. Let's come and ask our Heavenly Father with the simplicity and trust of a child to heal. There are people today who need God's healing. Here in this meeting, there are people who aren't in this meeting because they need God's healing. So we're going to spend a little bit of time praying as we close this meeting for people to be healed. Amen.